I mean, if you'd like to open to Daniel 7, where the Bible reading was taken from, we'll just look at those verses this afternoon. And what we're going to be looking at is God's judgment. God's judgment. And that's what the passage is dealing with that's before us today, is judgment. And whether the people or the inhabitants of the earth believe it or not, brothers and sisters, there is a day of judgment coming. There's a day of judgment coming. There will be a final day when God, who is the righteous judge, he will pass judgment upon the earth, upon the devil and all those who have followed him. All those who have not placed their faith in Christ will face this day of God's judgment. And we'll just read that again. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered under him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Daniel has another vision here. Last week we looked at that first vision was of the four beasts that corresponded to Nebuchadnezzar's image, the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. Now amongst those ten horns, in verse 8, a little horn with eyes and the mouth of a man started to speak great things. And we saw that was the Antichrist. The scene we now come to is Daniel beholding thrones, it says, that were cast down. And Daniel's intently looking at the little horn, and God gives him this vision here. The thrones that were cast down, meaning the thrones that were placed. And what we see is the establishment of a throne, not the destruction of one. You understand that? Say amen. That's it. The throne's being established, not destroyed. Judgment was being set, and Daniel sees the ancients of days, that's God, because if you look at verse 13, the Son of Man came in the clouds, that's Jesus, and came to the ancients of days, so that's his Father God. So we see God is there, sitting upon a throne, one of many. And he sits, and who sits on the other thrones is not mentioned. And I'm not going to speculate. We've got the Word of God. We look at that and that alone. So I'm not going to be trying to speculate anything there. But notice the description given here of God. He's got a garment white as snow. He's got hair pure, like pure wool. All speaking to us of God's purity and God's wisdom. And we see his throne is like a fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. And we see God's righteousness and his justice. And verse 10 says to us there, it says, and the books were opened. Do you know, you won't read anywhere in Scripture of books being opened except that one place, and that's the great white throne judgment. Nowhere, well, should I say, it's where the accounts of the lost or the wicked will be. They'll be there and they will confront the unbeliever. If unbelievers feel confronted now by the Word of God, wait till they stand before God. They will be confronted. And there's so much to say about judgment, we won't cover it in an afternoon message, but for a few things. And one that's not mentioned too much is that Satan, he's already been judged. He was judged in Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, Satan's doom is sealed. It was sealed that day. He's only waiting for the carrying out of that sentence. Then we have the judgment of sin, the cross. John 5:24 and Galatians 3:13, Hebrews 9:26, but Romans 5:9 tells us, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Another judgment of the believer's sins are judged. That's our chastisement. 1 Corinthians 11:31, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Then there'll be the believers' works will be judged. After the rapture, but before the revelation, and this will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not a judgment for sin, but it's a judgment for our lives after being saved. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all," that's the believer, "appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, Romans 14:10 tells us, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, this judgment seat, this will take place in the air, and that's in the future. The first of those three we just read, they've happened. They've taken place on earth. Now, there are four other judgments that are yet to happen. First of all, Israel must be judged. Ezekiel 20, verse 37 says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." And Zechariah 13:8, "And it shall come to pass that all in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, try them as gold is tried, and they shall call upon me, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Then we have the judgment of nations in Matthew 25:31 to 46. Now I just want to read Isaiah 34:1. It says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, and hath delivered them to slaughter." Now, Jude chapter 6, we won't go there, but we have the judgment of fallen angels. Then after that, we have a great white throne judgment. And this is only for the ungodly and the wicked. And that's where they will stand. In Revelation 20, verse 11, we read, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Listen, you will not find anywhere in the Bible, nowhere, that it teaches a general judgment for all. That's just not in there. That's a man-made idea. It is not Bible truth, and it is not Bible doctrine. Before Israel can receive her promised kingdom in which the Messiah reigns, Jesus must personally return to this earth. There must be a definite judgment upon them to determine who will enter into the kingdom on earth. Like Romans 9:6 tells us, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Now this time is laid out for us in Matthew 24 and 25. Now in Matthew 24, 4 to 12, you have to write these down, I'm not reading them. We are given the conditions that will happen before the end of this age. There'll be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Then in verses 13 to 26, we have the tribulation period, which is described during which the Antichrist will announce to the world that he is God. And from verses 27 to 31, it describes the Lord's second coming to this earth as lightning cometh out of the east, shining unto the west. And that's not the rapture, that's the revelation where every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. Israel will be regathered from around the world into their own land to be judged. Matthew 25:1 to 30 gives you the description of that judgment. Now from verses 31 to 46, we see the judgment there is on the Gentiles. and the kingdom of earth when Jesus sits on the throne of David, and we, the bride of Christ, we will be reigning with him. Now, these two chapters there clearly show judgment on Israel follows the second coming of the Lord to the earth and Israel regathered as a nation. Listen, Israel are an earthly people and Israel have earthly promises. And the Jewish people can be saved today, before I go any further, just like any other person can be. But as a nation, they're going to be judged, and that's after the Lord returns to this earth. Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Now Ezekiel 20, verse 34 says, I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the country wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You know, some people, they like to spiritualize Israel and the judgment, and they like to teach that the soul is judged when the person dies, but that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. They like to teach also that Israel and the church are one and the same. That's not rightly dividing the truth. God will gather together the nation of Israel at the second coming of Christ. He will divide the saved from the unsaved. The unsaved will be cast into hell fire and the saved into the kingdom that's been prepared from before the foundation of the world. Listen, God is going to keep his promise to Abraham and to the chosen people, Israel. Now, time doesn't allow us today to even touch the judgment of nations, but that's also recorded in Matthew, and it follows the judgment on Israel. And it's through these scriptures we learn that unsaved go into hell before the millennium starts. Listen, Joel 3, verse 1 says, For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. See, Joel shows that the judgment on the Gentiles is going to take place at the same time the Lord restores Israel to the land. And then, as an everlasting possession, God, you know, he made his covenant with Abraham. And their restoration to the land will take place at the second coming of the Lord to the earth. So the judgment of the Gentiles has to be before the millennium. Because those accepted in this judgment, it says, will enter the kingdom. Matthew 25:34. The king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yeah, this will be a judgment on the spirit. To determine the spiritual condition on the Gentiles judged. Listen, man is not saved by works. The Bible does not teach works salvation. It will be an individual judgment, not just a national judgment. Now, the judgment of angels, only on fallen angels. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. See, the whole point of that judgment on angels is because of one single sin. They followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Brothers and sisters, sin brings forth death, whether it's a creature of this earth or a heavenly creature. Nothing that defiles is going to enter into God's presence. And we come to the last and final judgment, the great white throne, and it's final because God's work is finished concerning resurrection and the judgment program. It's clearly stated it takes place after the millennium. Revelation 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, these people are referred to as the dead. See, all believers who die before the rapture are going to be raised when Jesus comes in the air to call the church out before the tribulation starts. So all unbelievers who die or will die after the rapture will be at the great white throne, and they will be judged, and their sentence is the second death, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, a general judgment for all people is unbiblical. And the more you study the word of God, I'll put it to you, it's almost unbelievable that anyone who could, from careful, diligent study of God's word, believe that one day everyone's going to be raised and then everyone's going to be judged at the same time. That's not going to happen. There are some 8 judgments, and each happens at different places, different times, have different people, judged on a different basis. Now, Matthew 25, 31 to 46 and Revelation 20, 11 to 15 are not the same. Matthew, there's no resurrection before judgment. There's a gathering of his elect. Matthew 24, 31, Matthew is judgment of the living nations. In Revelation, it's a judgment of the dead. Matthew, there's a judgment of nations. Revelation is definitely for individuals because they're judged after heaven and earth have fled away. See, nations are confined to the earth. If earth and heaven have fled away, then there can be no nations present. Matthew, there's no books mentioned. Revelation, books will be opened, and those who do not have their name in the book of life will be cast into hellfire. Now, Matthew, judgment recurs when? At the return of Christ to this earth. Revelation's judgment takes place 1,000 years after Jesus comes to earth. Matthew has got 2 types of people. There's wicked and righteous. Revelation, only the wicked. Now, there's a lot more, but Matthew, the judgment is based on the treatment of the brethren. Now, some show brethren the love and the care, yet Revelation is only based on evil works. Matthew, there's no 1,000 years of peace and goodwill. We read people are hungered, people are thirsty, people are sick, and they're in prison. Now, I've said all that just to set this up, and I know it was a lot, but you can look at it again, but in Daniel 7, 9, it says there, I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. You know, only at the great white throne judgment do we read of books being opened. There's no books concerning Israel's judgment as a nation. There are no books with the judgment on the Gentiles. There are no books open for the falling angels. In fact, they're only put in chains, reserved, and brought forth later and thrown into the lake of fire. See, the final decision, the great white throne judgment, is what's being spoken of in the verse here. Now, we read there in verse 11, I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. You see, Daniel's attention has been drawn to the great words that have been spoken, which the horn is speaking. And that word beheld, it's a word we may think, oh, we'll gaze upon, and that's what it means. But also a word that means extremely bright. So here's Daniel, he's beholding. In other words, here's this vibrant vision. And this has really got Daniel's attention. Why? Because of this voice. And again he says, I beheld. And with the same intensity, he sees this beast, the Antichrist. And what happens? The Antichrist is slain. And here in Daniel, that slain means to be cut off or put to death. His body is destroyed. And it's a word that means utterly undone. It's perished. And notice, it's given to the burning flame. What an image. The flames of hell. Given, he's been placed intentionally. He's been placed personally into hellfire. And verse 9, Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You know, in Revelation 19, in the first six verses, we have all the hallelujahs. Then in verses 7 to 9, we have the marriage of the Lamb. Then in verses 11 to 16, we have the appearance of Christ. I'll read them. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is a glorious coming of our Lord. We're going to be coming with him. Isn't that amazing? That's just going to be incredible. And right after that, in verse 17, we read of the Battle of Armageddon. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire with burning brimstone. Praise the Lord, we won't be at that one, amen. We'll be watching, but listen, and as we're talking with someone this morning, I'm inundated with calls and messages. If you take the vaccine, you're taking the mark of the beast. But that can't happen. We're not in that time. We're not in that time at all. Listen, the beast's time of terror here at the Battle of Armageddon, it's finished, and he is judged and he's thrown, and in other words, he's given into the fire. And all the sin and all the persecution against God and against God's children has reached its end. And sin always reaches an end. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And all those who perish without the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into hell for eternity, and there'll be no rest, there'll be no relief. The wicked dead are going to grind and gnash their teeth for eternity, and hell is the end of the road for those who die without Christ, who die in their sin. If you notice verse 11, and I behold then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. See, the Antichrist is a real person with a real body, and that body will be destroyed. He is a man of sin. He is the devil incarnate. He heads up the devil's wicked system. He is the counterfeit Christ, and he will be destroyed. And with him, the revived Roman Empire, the Babylonian system, will be wiped out for eternity. he will be thrown into the lake of fire, the final hell forever. Listen, I'll tell you something. Man and devils are eternal beings. Sin is endless. Once it's committed, it cannot be uncommitted. The only hope is to have your sin washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And those who die without Christ will suffer endless punishment. Listen, the day is fast approaching where there will be no hope for sinful men. The day is fast approaching where punishment will be eternal. The day of salvation is today. Today is a day to call upon the Lord while there's time. And one's eternal destiny depends upon their choice concerning Christ today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. Now I see two things here. I see in this passage of Scripture two judgments. The great white throne judgment in verse 10, if you look at that, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered under him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. See, that occurs after the millennium. In verse 11, it's having to do, though, when we look at that, the beast and the false prophet and the armies gathered around Jerusalem, getting ready to try and wipe out Israel and the saved nations who will be in the land of Israel when Jesus comes. And that's at the start of 1,000-year reigns. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. We have two judgments there. One that occurs after the millennium and one that occurs at the great white throne judgment. Jesus is coming. The time would be set. Tomorrow, right now, there could only be 7 years left. Have you thought about that? Right now, there could be just 7 years left. Where are you going to spend eternity? Now, for verse 12, it says there, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. You know, even though the Babylonians were overtaken by the Mede and Persians, and even though the Mede and Persians were then taken over by the Greeks, and then the Greeks overtaken by the Romans, listen, the only thing that really changed was the rulership. The pattern of life remained pretty much the same. But the last beast is final. And the revived Roman Empire will be finished. And when that happens, they will all be finished. Israel must be judged. There will be a judgment of the nations, a judgment of fallen angels. There will be a great white throne judgment. And it's for all those who have not placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to ask you today, where do you stand? Given that this is the true word of God, given that the circumstances we live in, what judgment do you want to be at? Where will you spend eternity? What throne will you be judged before? I pray that it's the judgment seat of Christ. Today's the day. You've got to make up your mind. Honestly, the hour is so late. The shout is ready to come. And we will be judged. Every single person. But if you're born again, you won't be judged for sin. And praise God for that. But if not, and you're not sure, let's make sure today. Because there will be a judgment. And there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's only one or two places a person is going to spend eternity. And it's one of those. Make sure heaven's your home. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We see there, Lord, there is going to be two judgments in this passage of Scripture. We see them clearly. And we pray, Lord, that before that time comes, we will be taken out as believers and we will sit at the judgment seat of Christ, thankful for the work that you did on our behalf. And Lord, we pray for those we may know who are lost, family we may know who do not know you as their Saviour. Lord, help us to share the truth with them. Help us, Lord, to live before them a life that asks them the question of what's the difference between the two. Because the day is coming, Lord, very soon. And then it will be too late. Father, we pray that we be on time, ready to go with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.